Well, good morning, and welcome here. The primary text I'd like to look at is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll just turn there, and then I'd like to ask the Lord to be with us this morning. Just join me in prayer. Father, I just come to you now and ask that your Spirit would be upon me and speak through me, that you'd feed your people, strengthen your church, and you'd encourage us to continue to seek you in our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The resurrection of Jesus is probably, I would say, the most consequential doctrine in the entire Bible, because on it, everything else hinges. If the resurrection fails, everything fails with it. And so, it's also then obvious, or we can observe from that, why even in the New Testament, when in Acts, when the gospel was being preached, why when the resurrection was put in front of unbelievers, that's what made people react. And we're going to look into Acts for a little bit and see that. But it is the most consequential thing. And in a crowd like this, we'll have two groups of people. Those who believe and those who don't. And I would just say to you this morning, if you don't believe, I'm not here to beat that over your head, but I have to ask you a question. Why don't you believe? It's a fair question to ask yourself. I don't believe, why? And I'd like to maybe open that up to you, but there's one prayer that God will hear from you this morning if you want to believe and haven't, and that is, open my eyes, Lord, to who you are. And for those of us who would say, yes, I do believe, why do you believe? What's your evidence? What's your proof that you believe in the resurrection? Just think about that. You know, many intelligent people have read Josephus and, you know, many books, and they know all about the resurrection. But does that make you a believer? It makes you intelligent. Some people have read the scriptures, and they know all about the Bible. Was that what makes you a believer this morning? I would submit to you this morning, the only way to know that the resurrection is real as a fact is to actually have experienced it for yourself. Because if Christ was raised from the dead, he then has the authority and the ability to put resurrection life inside of us. And when we taste of resurrection life in our own lives, we can witness back to that day to say, yes, Jesus lives because he lives in me. But the disconnect is real. And in this chapter in 1 Corinthians, we see the church wrestling with this, and Paul making three applications to why the resurrection is essential and why it must be there for our faith. So I'd like to start reading here in 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 1. And it says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's where we stand. By which you were saved, are saved, if you hold fast, and here's the little if there, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. How could you believe in vain? Something to think about. For I delivered to you first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And I just to stop and make a point on that. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, it tells us there that the Spirit of Christ was in the prophets writing about himself in the Old Testament. We call it the Old Testament. And God was there, for example, in Psalms where David wrote about how Jesus would be crucified. You'll read that in the first person. If you didn't think about it as prophecy, it would sound that like David is describing events in his own life. But we know that David wasn't crucified, King David. But the Spirit is there saying, these are the things that will prove that I am Christ when the time comes. So he writes in the first person. So when Paul went out to preach the Corinthians originally, initially, he didn't have the New Testament. He preached from the old, what we call the Old Testament. He showed them Christ in the Old Testament. So when he's saying here, from the Scriptures, this is the context that these believers are in. And that he was buried, verse 4, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The authority was on the Scriptures. And these Corinthian people responded to that. They believed, and they embraced that. And then we come to verse 12. For if Christ is preached, and he has been raised from the dead, that he has been raised from the dead, how do some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? See, the church was wrestling with this. They were like, did Jesus really rise from the dead? And it was and the implications of denying that have tremendous consequences to our faith. So the fact that he rose from the dead have huge consequences, but denying that also has huge consequences. And just to kind of underscore that thought, if we turn back, just stick your finger here, we're going to come back to 1 Corinthians 15, but if we come over to Acts 17, and I'd just like to point out this whole thing about coming face to face with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The monumental force that it has behind our message as we preach Christ, as we believe in Christ, why it is so, it's the power of God. And in Acts 17, verse 22, Paul comes to the men of Athens. And you'll remember, for time's sake, I'm not going to read this all, but you'll remember, this is the place where they had an idol or a monument to the unknown God. And Paul gets up and he starts preaching to them Jesus Christ. And they were happy to listen for verse 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, and verse 30. They were just sitting there humming along. Okay, you keep preaching there, brother. We like these men were big time into big conversations. They were theologians. They loved a dramatic, like, let's really get into the minor details. And then he gets to verse 31. Because he was appointed a day on which he will judge the world by righteousness by the man whom he has ordained, Jesus Christ. He has given assurance to this by all by raising him from the dead. That was the lynching comment that he made. And what was their response? And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, we will hear you again on this matter. See, people don't like the resurrection. What does the resurrection mean? Well, if we come back to 1 Corinthians, It means that everything about me, Ron, ends, and everything about Jesus begins. If Jesus is raised from the dead this morning, then Ron and his ideas have to go. and I come into the kingdom of Jesus Christ and I become part of who he is. And in the flesh, we don't like that. Our flesh doesn't want. And it's the very reason why Satan has been attacking the resurrection of Christ right from the get-go. If you read church history, you know, people talk about how maybe Jesus was raised from the dead only spiritually, but not with a body. You know, maybe heaven is just a mystical place. And because Satan knows that if we cease to believe in the resurrection, everything else in our faith system crumbles and turns to dust. And that is why having a clear witness in our spirit this morning that Jesus is alive and he lives in me, that is our first resurrection, right? Being raised from death to life in Christ. That's our first resurrection isn't when Jesus comes back someday in the future. Resurrection life in me is my first resurrection. And all the other experiences that come with time are continuing experiences of coming into Christ initially. And this is why Satan attacks that and wants us to leave it behind. If you read polling in the church, like Angus Reid polling, you'll find that there are many believers who do not believe in the resurrection. They're fine with the cross. They want a God that loves them, forgives them, but they don't want the resurrection. And you have to ask yourself why. Because it is the power of God in our lives, and it makes all the difference. And I hear this morning, I believe the resurrection is real. I've tasted it, and I'd like to convey that to you. Jesus lives. So we like to look at the three reasons that Jesus lives in 15 minutes. I'm going to race along here. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are in your sins. I was amazed this morning in the Lord's Supper how many people used my verses. I was really glad. I thought, you know what? I think the Lord did tell me what I should share because everybody reshared it, and I'm so, it's great. You know, the cross, while it is amazing, dramatic, and very heart-gripping to find a man that would love you so much to go through such a tremendous suffering, is absolutely of no value if he didn't come out of the grave. He's just a nice guy that likes getting beaten up. Yeah. The fact that he came out of the grave by the power of God means that he has the authority now today to look at you and me and say, I forgive you. I'll cleanse you. I'll give you eternal life in me. And all the sins that you're ashamed of today, I'll wash them away in my blood and I'll make you a new creature. And I'll give you resurrection life just like I have. That's incredible. And he proved it by coming out of the grave. It was mentioned earlier that the stone, why didn't Jesus just come through the rock? Well, it's for our benefit. You know, God has left signs and pictures for us to see. This morning, because Christ has risen from the dead, literally, physically, my sins have been washed away. And I don't have to be ashamed here this morning because of Christ. And that would be for yourself too. The second defense of the resurrection that Paul gives is in verse 29, but for context, we'll read start in verse 27. But he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is expected. Now when all things are subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who has put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Otherwise, what will we do who are baptized for the dead? For if the dead do not rise at all, why then are they baptized for the dead? And why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? You know, in Jesus' name, this is why we pray in Jesus' name. This is why we ask things in Jesus' name, because the name of Jesus is all powerful. We ask in Jesus' name. Satan knows this, and this is why he wants us to forget it, but this is a very true, real thing. And this is a mind picture for you. This is not doctrine, but just help you understand the concept. When Jesus came out of the grave, everything was subject to him because he had been raised from the dead, right? And he went to Satan, and he took him by the beard, and he said, from now on, if anybody who's in me cries out in my name for you to get out of their life and get out of the way, you listen. And Satan said, yeah, I'll stick with that. I'm going to fight you tooth and nail. But because Jesus lives, that's why the authority of Jesus' name is so powerful. And that's why the Bible encourages us to use it. When you're being tempted, when you're being tried, when you're under a lot of pressure, that's why we come in Jesus' name. And if he was still in the grave somewhere, it wouldn't work. Satan would just run over you like a freight train. But you rise up even as a weak believer, which essentially that's probably all we are, is weak. We're made strong in Christ. And we say, in Jesus' name, just help me. And that's where the strength is, because Jesus rose from the dead. And Paul is making this case. He said, He said in Ephesus in verse 32, why would I jump into a arena full of wild beasts and put my life at peril? Why would I do the Christian life? You know, the Christian life is not an easy life, actually. The Christian life is a hard life. It's probably the hardest life you can choose to live. It requires giving up everything for Christ. You are aware of that? Christ's resurrection demands that your life ends and his life begins. That's what it means to be born again into Christ. And this whole idea of being baptized, you know, we know that baptism as a New Testament concept is to be baptized into his death. Why would you bother being baptized to a dead man? But if Jesus lives, what are we being baptized into? The picture is given to us of Moses and the Red Sea. When the children of Israel were called out of Egypt, a life of sin and bondage, by the power of God, that's like us coming to the cross. And then they got up to the shores of the Red Sea, they're pinned in, and the enemy came after them. You know about that if you're saved, right? You stepped out of a life of sin, and all the bad habits just followed you right to the Red Sea. And you're trapped. And the Red Sea, unless it was opened by the power of God, would have swallowed up the whole nation. They could have pushed them out into that lake and they would have drowned. But the power of God was there to open up the Red Sea. And they went through. They went through death. by the power of God. And then the Red Sea closed in on their enemies. You know, they were done by going through the Red Sea. They were baptized onto Moses. Moses was their Savior in that day. We're baptized into Christ. He is our Savior. The things in our lives that should destroy us, God makes a way. He opens up a way in Christ. And that's what we're baptized into. We're baptized into his death, into his power, so that on Resurrection Day, the resurrection of Christ, that resurrection power in us to keep us and keep us moving on. And you'll notice that they got through the Red Sea, and what was the first thing they came to? A couple days later, they were out of water. And God opened up the rock for them, and the rock brought that life out of the rock for them to drink the water. And the Bible tells us that rock is Christ. So through the grave comes life. And but all of this is a folly and a fool's errand if Christ is not raised. Do you believe that Jesus is alive? Is it worth following him into the Christian life, knowing that he'll keep you by his power? You know, do you worry about your future? I do sometimes. I think, man, I don't know. Future doesn't look too bright for me. But because Jesus lives, if we follow after him, he will take us to a good end. An end that will glorify his name, and Christ will get glory out of our lives. So why stand we, verse 30, why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Ask yourself that same question. Why do you stand in jeopardy every hour? Because Jesus lives. And there's really nowhere else to go. So we reach out to the all-powerful, all-keeping hand of God through Jesus Christ. That's where our security is. That's where our hope is. That's where our power is. And the third reason that Paul gives for the resurrection of Christ is for our hope of the resurrection into his kingdom. Verse 44. It is sown a natural body. This is referring to our flesh. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a living being. Life-giving spirit. You know, coming to Jesus Christ is not an idea. It's an experience. That's important. You can know a lot about God and still be unsaved. The life-giving spirit of Jesus Christ, that's what touches you and you say, yes, Lord, I know you're real. I know you're powerful. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. You could say this morning that the resurrection of Jesus Christ started a new race of people in Christ. That would be my way of saying it. But when he came out of the grave and he started to transform people, make them new in Christ. As was the man of dust, so are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so are those who are heavenly. And as we who are born the image of the man of dust, so we shall bear the image of the heavenly man. Do you believe that this morning? That someday You will bear the image of Christ because he rose from the dead. Just going to skip a few here and just verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So that when this corruption is put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. This morning in Christ, we have a partial victory. In Christ, he has redeemed our spiritual man and our soul. But on that day when he returns, he's going to also give us a new body, and we'll be completely new in his presence. That's genius. You know, back in the garden, one of the greatest gifts God gave to man was death. He said, I got a way to get you out of this mess you put yourself in. I'm going to give you death, and I'm going to give you Jesus, so that when you come be with me, you can be just like I wanted you to be right from the beginning. But it all happened because he came out of the grave alive. It all hinges on that. And hopefully, sooner than later, we'll all be in his presence. Just think about that. We had a brother, a friend, just pass away. And I always like stories when people die that they didn't just really die. They die with hope and joy. That's the way to die. If you got to die anyway, die with passion. I like that. That just proves that Jesus lives. When a man can face his death and say, wow, God is with me. I'm not afraid to cross over. You know, that parable that Jesus told about the rich man and the poor man. And he went to Abraham's bosom. But what does it tell us? That angels came to carry him away. You know, you imagine yourself on your deathbed someday. You're sitting there, you're dying, you're waiting for Jesus to take you there. And the heavens open up and the angels come to take you into his presence. Those are powerful things. But it's because he lives that all of that is true. And someday when the trumpet blows and the dead are raised, we will be like he is. That's our hope this morning for those of us in Christ. Someday we will be like he is because he lives. So if you're weighing and you're in the balance this morning, so do I believe? Or could I believe another way without the resurrection? The answer is no. The resurrection is the one thing that every one of us has to wrestle with and deal with in our lives. And the question really is, what will you do with Jesus? That's the question. And this morning, for those of us who are in Christ and that we do believe, we can thank him for the fact that he is alive today. And because he lives, we live, and we will continue to live in his presence. Let's close in prayer. Father, we come to you. We want to thank you for eternal life. Thank you that you said that by putting our faith and trust in you and believing your word, we have passed from death to life. Thank you for the cross and what you did for us there. Thank you for the tomb, what you continue to do for us there. And we thank you this morning for the resurrection. Thank you for welcoming us into your kingdom. Thank you. you that we can live with you now, experience you now, and someday know you in your fullness. And I just thank you this morning that you have the power over death. And you can open up our eyes and you can help us to see who you really are. And we just thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.